Would you like to, we're going to stand and go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll read my scripture text today. And I am not used to doing this, so I need you to really get behind me, but I hope that what I have to say, the Lord will bless you. Thank you, Jesus. I couldn't convince anyone else to get up here, so I guess here I am. You're stuck with me. Okay, if you'd all like to turn to Exodus. The first chapter, verses 15 through 21. I know the time is far spent, but I won't be before you very long. If you'll have it, say amen. Amen. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shephrah, and the name of the other, Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the children, the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, and I want you to remember that, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, then he made them houses. Amen. That's my scripture text. Can we just bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this word? Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Hallelujah, God. You take this broken vessel and use it for your glory. Let the words spoken, O God, be from you, Lord Jesus. Let it touch hearts. Let it transform lives, I pray. In the name of Jesus, have your way, God. Hallelujah, God. I acknowledge I can do nothing without you. Anoint our hearts and our ears to hear and understand your word. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So when I was seeking the Lord for something to speak to you all on Mother's Day, you know, we usually hear about Sarah or Ruth or some of these other famous. But the Lord drew my attention to these two very insignificant women in the Bible, Puah and Shiphrah. Puah and Shiphrah were midwives around the time of 1552 before BC. And at that time, there were obviously hundreds of midwives, but the Lord selected those two and brought them before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, my main message is to say to you that I don't believe that these women were randomly selected, but I believe that God ordained this for them to come before Pharaoh, and how terrifying it must have been for them to come before Pharaoh. But I believe before they came to Pharaoh, before they met with this circumstance, that they'd already purposed in their heart that I would rather fear God than man. And I say to you as mothers, we have to purpose in our hearts that we're not going to do as the world does. We are going to fear God rather than man. Now, Genesis 1:27 says, if you can flip that up there. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. So we see here that the plan of Pharaoh, the plan of the king of Egypt, was to destroy God's plan. We cannot have reproduction without a man and a woman. So by cutting out the male, he was literally trying to stop God's purpose, which was to multiply and to replenish the earth. Amen. We see that this is one of the first cases of abortion in the Bible, which is a very ugly, 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 ugly subject. But this is Mother's Day, and this is part of of the world we live in today. But we see that this isn't anything new. This is something that's been going on for years and years and years as a tool of Satan to destroy God's plan. And so because the king of Egypt was afraid, he saw that the Israelites, in spite of enslavement, were multiplying at a rapid pace, and he feared them because not only were they multiplying, but he said, if these people want to cause an uprising against me, we'll be outnumbered. I got to stop this. Slavery wasn't working, so he devised a plan of killing the males of the Israelite nation. Now, I say unto you, and I'm going to just read some facts about abortion, because as I was studying for this topic, I looked up on the internet, and there's an organization called the NIRH, National Institution for Reproductive Health. They call abortion a safe, common health procedure. It also states in their blog, that a provider could be prosecuted and punished for up to 6 years in prison for performing this safe, common health procedure. But I say to you, 6 years with repentance is much better than eternity in hell for doing this wicked, wicked crime. Amen? Since recognizing a woman's constitutional right in abortion in 1973, Roe v. Wade, the U.S. Supreme Court, recorded that approximately 926,200 abortions occurred in the United States alone in the year of 2014. That's just in this, not talking about worldwide, just in the United States in the year of 2014, 926,200 abortions, babies, were killed. So I just want to also go into some details about abortion, because it's a lie from the pit of hell if you think it's a safe procedure. Abortion is not one of the safest surgical procedures for women in the United States. Physical after effects include abdominal pain, cramping, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, heavy persistent bleeding, infection, scarring, perforation of the uterine lining, damage to other organs, and sometimes even death. What's safe about that and common? Emotional effects, those are just the physical effects. Emotional effects include regret, anger, guilt, shame, a sense of loneliness or isolation, loss of self-confidence, insomnia, nightmares, relationship issues, suicidal thoughts and feelings, eating disorders, depression, and anxiety. Is there anything common and safe about that? Amen. They don't tell you all that. So, and I'm not here to condemn anyone who's gone through that. You know, it's a procedure that, when in the case of the health of the mother is in danger, that I know that it is used. And I'm not here to bring down, but I'm just here to address an issue that sometimes is swept under the rug. And there are women that have gone through this procedure. Where do they go? I say they should go to Christ. They should go to Jesus, where there's complete forgiveness, where there's complete healing, where there's complete restoration. Amen. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. So, If anyone here has been through that, I'm not here to condemn. I'm just here to say that this is not a common, this is not an alternative to a pregnancy that might be unwanted, that you don't know who you're carrying in your womb. You don't know the plans the Lord has for that baby. And I believe, and I know many of you do believe, that life begins at conception. Not after the baby's born, but at the minute that seed penetrates that egg and life is born, life has begun. So don't, anyone listening to this, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. It's not just a fetus, it's a life. It's a life with a soul. Amen? So, I just wanted to, and once again, I do want to acknowledge Jessica, because this year she has been studying to be a medulla. Is that right? Is it? I say it my way, medulla. Medulla. But, I just want to encourage you, you know, to keep doing what you're doing. Your name means gift from God. It means wealthy. And that's not necessarily in worldly possessions, but it means rich and wealthy in the kingdom of God. and that you're using your spiritual gifts to spread that wealth, which is life. Amen. I want to give her a hand clap because she has... So we see that God has positioned Pua and Sapphira in with the awesome responsibility of choosing life or death. And I say that it wasn't an easy thing for them to decide, to stand up before the king of Egypt and decide, hey, we can't let this happen. What if they had said, okay, king, and done what he had bid them to do? How many millions and how many thousands of Jews would have been destroyed, male Jews would have been destroyed? So they risked their lives by refusing to comply with what Egypt had. What Satan wanted them to do. And I say, us today as mothers, we need to stand against the systems of this world. Certain things are not okay. If it's against what the Bible or the Word says, it's not okay. I don't care how you try and pretty it up or turn it, it's not okay if it goes against the Word of God. These women feared God and chose to obey him rather than man. Amen. They were accountable not only for themselves, but for all the Hebrew midwives. I think that these midwives were over hundreds of them, and by standing up and doing what they did, they showed by example what was the right thing to do. Not only that, they led by example, making wise choices, and their godly character caused Pharaoh to believe them. You know, he called them back in, and I'm going to read another scripture. It says here, Pharaoh said to them, why have you done this thing? Why we see that you've not done what I asked you to do. Why did you do this? And they gave the excuse that the Egyptian women were more lively than that before they could get to them, because in those days they gave birth on a stool, and of course they were not doctors there, but the midwives are the ones that were brought these babies into the world. And they made the excuse saying, before we could get into, you know, get to the room, they were on the stool and they gave birth before we could even get there. But something caused Pharaoh to believe what they said, amen? Of course that wasn't the truth. But their character, their godliness, caused Pharaoh to trust them, not only trust them, but reward them for not doing what he asked them to do with houses and land. Look how great our God is, amen? So their choices affected not only themselves, but generations to follow. And if we read on in that story, we see that because of that decision, Pharaoh said in verse 22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, because this isn't working, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. He still was trying to put forth his plan. But who was cast into the river? Does anyone know who was cast into the river? Moses was cast into the river. Moses was the deliverer of Israel. Amen? So I say to you, mothers, you don't know what you have for your as a child. You don't know what plans God has for them. And we have to choose to obey God's word. Egypt represents the world. And I say to you, mothers, especially those of you that are in Christ, that Satan is afraid of you. You see, when we were born, we all came into the world with eyes, hands, feet, toes, liver, heart. We came into the world with everything that we needed to live. Amen? And as women, we came into the world with a womb. We came into the world with a womb. That is the ability and the potential to bring forth life. And I say to you, when we are born again, that God is afraid of your potential, because you have been born with the ability and the potential to produce life. Amen? That is God's design, that we multiply and replenish, spiritually, that we multiply and replenish the church. Amen? Amen? So I believe that Satan is afraid of your potential. And in my title for this, and I want you to say this with me, ladies, I am positioned, I am designed, and I am fully equipped. Amen, amen, amen. Say it again. I am positioned, I am designed, and I am fully equipped. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, once again, I believe God positioned Sapphira and Pua to do what they did. And I say to you, when you are in Christ, you are positioned as a mother to produce, to replenish, to restore, to nurture. You are positioned to do all of these things as a mother. Amen? If I can get my thoughts together. Let's talk about positioning. When we come to Christ, when we're spiritually born again, we've been baptized with, in Jesus' name, filled with His Holy Spirit, we have a new position. Not only have we passed from death unto life, but God has positioned us in heavenly places. And that sounds so... But if we acknowledge and we know what where God has put us, we would live a powerful, overcoming life. Most Christians make the mistake of trying to walk in order to sit. The Bible said He's seated us in heavenly places. And most of us feel like we have to do something, we have to be good enough, we have to attain with effort. When I'm telling you that when you're born again, Christ has seated you in heavenly places. It's not you trying to get up the hill, you are on top of the hill. We used to play that game when I was younger, King of the Mountain. You are seated in heavenly places. But you know what? It does you no good unless you realize what Christ has done. So Christianity begins not with a big do, but with a big done. Amen? Not what I can do, but what has been done through Christ when He died on the cross. Amen. And gave us eternal life. So that Ephesians opens with the statement that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And we are invited at the outset to sit down and enjoy what God has done for us. Not to set out to try and attain it for ourselves. Through faith, we can rest in what God has done, the finished work of the cross. In a book, Lewis Sperry Schaeffer's excellent book, Salvation, Schaeffer raises the following 5 points. That when we come to Christ, we are justified. Now, when you ask God to come into your life and you repent, you don't actually feel justification, but you feel the results of justification. You feel peace, you feel joy, because you are justified. So you didn't work to be justified. That was given to you when you gave your life to Christ. But then the fact is that you are justified and you need to walk in it. Therefore, you should experience peace. You should experience joy. Amen? Not because you're trying to earn it, but because you are justified. So the Christian's position is not one that is progressive. We don't develop from a small beginning. We don't become perfect. He has perfected us when we give our hearts to Christ. And for an example, sonship does not grow as an old man is no more a son of his father at his death than he is at the day of his birth. In other words, an old man does not become a son at his death when he becomes old, but the day he was born, he was a son. Amen? And nothing can change that. So we have to realize that we have been made daughters and children of Christ, sons of Christ, and that cannot change. So we're not trying to earn sonship. We have sonship. Amen? So we cannot attain this by human merit. Amen? Every position that we have is eternal by its very nature. We just need to realize and be conscious of what God has done for us. And as mothers, sometimes it's so easy to become overwhelmed, it's so easy to become unworthy, it's so easy to become not good enough. But recognize that God has placed you where He has placed you. You are positioned where you are positioned for a reason. Okay, some of you are married. You are married to the man that God designed you to be married to. Some of you are single, some of you are divorced, whatever. But your position right now in Christ is where God wants you to be. Amen? Amen? So, once again, I am positioned, I am designed. 2 Peter 1 and 2, if you can bring that up, says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." And verse 3, if we can get that up there, it says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." In other words, grace and peace has been multiplied to us through the knowledge of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not something that we earn, but we can grow into by staying in his word, by praying, by staying close to him. And it says that through the knowledge of him that hath given us and hath called us to glory, that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Whether we use them or not is up to us, but we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen? Praise God. And the Bible says, and this scripture has been quoted so many times, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Amen? So God has designed us and has ordained us to bear fruit. And as women, God gave us a womb, amen. And I believe that physically he gave us a womb, yes, to reproduce babies, but also to nurture, to encourage, to strengthen others in the church, that he's given us that very nature, and this is what he wants us to do. Amen. So I'm not going to be before you very long, but I just wanted to share the fact that you are positioned, you are equipped. God has given you everything that you need for righteousness. Not only that, but you are designed. You are designed to be a mother. Amen? Let's go through some things that a mother is. Some 12 qualities of a mother. Amen? In order for a child to trust his mother, he needs to see her exemplify wisdom. Amen? If a child is in trouble and goes to her mother, a mother that's making poor decisions, it's very hard for a child to trust in that mother. So we need to be making wise decisions. How do we do that? We do that by studying the Word of God. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. That God wants us to be wise mothers. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Amen? Another quality of a godly mother is they persist in prayer at all times. In Luke 18:1, it says they should always pray and not give up. Some of you are facing some pretty hard situations as mothers. Amen? Some of your children are not doing what you want them to do right now. Amen? But the word says persist, persist in prayer. And I can say this works because when mine was really tiny, this is what we did. We prayed over them continually, amen? Not just a one-time thing, but every day, pray over your children because you will see fruit, you will see result, amen? Amen. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying not sometimes, but always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You've got to be spirit-filled to do this. Sometimes you pray for your child and you don't even know what you're praying for. But when you pray for them in the Spirit, God knows. He knows exactly what they need. So pray for your children all the time. Amen? The third one is, 1 Corinthians 13, charity suffereth long. A mother who loves God with all her heart isn't afraid to display unconditional love to her child. Do you agree with what they're doing? No. But you let them know, just as God does with us. It's not upon your performance, but I love you because you are my child. Yes. And am I unhappy with some of the choices you're making? Yes. But that's not going to stop me loving you. And you will find, you know, when they do go away, that they know that they can come back because they know that you're not going to condemn them. They know that you're not going to judge them. They know that they can come back to Mama. Amen? Yes. So though she recognizes that they're not doing what she wants them to do, she will continually love them, and she demonstrates that love. And the Bible says, 1 John 4:18, this applies to this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Sometimes we can be afraid to show love because we think we need to be strict and we need to, but you know what, don't be afraid to show your child love. Yes, show them with truth, amen, but don't be afraid to love your child, amen, in spite of their bad behavior. Quality 4 says, a godly mother cultivates a joyful environment. In Psalms 16:11, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. A wholesome tongue, gentle words, is a tree of life, but perverseness, a deceitful tongue, therein is a breach in the spirit. I'm telling you what, mothers set the atmosphere in a home, amen? Yeah, amen. You can cultivate an environment of joy, or you can cultivate an environment of, you want to put your blank in there, amen? Amen? Put your blank in there. But those who enter into the home of a godly mother sense the presence of joy. Her deep-rooted joy sustains her through the difficulties of living in an ungodly world. She's mastered the ability to encourage her children toward joy in every single situation. Amen? Quality number 5 exhibits steadfastness in the Word of God. She meditates on the Holy Scriptures regularly. A Christian mother actively engages the Word of God for every problem in the home. Who are you turning to when you have a problem? Amen? Are you turning to the internet? Are you turning to some book? Or are you going to the Word of God and saying, what does God's Word say about this situation? What does God's Word say about this problem? Amen? And when you do that, you know you're going to get a good answer. Not only a good answer, but one that works. Amen? There's so many times that we have experienced that. Amen? That God's Word works. Amen? Praise the Lord. A godly mother forgives the offenses of others willingly. It says, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. Offenses are going to come within and outside the home. Yet the godly mother won't hold forgiveness hostage until she feels better. Amen? How many's done that? Amen? You know, somebody's done wrong and you know they've done wrong, but you need to model that in front of your children. That you're not going to forgive when you feel better, when you think that person's done enough penance. But you're going to forgive because you know God said to forgive. Amen? Amen? And your children need to see that. Your children need to see that. Because it's so easy to find an excuse not to forgive. Amen? A godly woman, a godly mother, embraces a spirit of contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And I had to learn that. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound everywhere in all things, and I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And growing up, you know, with my husband who did contract work, and I thank God for him. I've not really acknowledged him, but I thank God for him. Praise God. But there were times, because he did contract work, that he would be out of work for several months. Amen. Now, we had a mortgage and 4 children. Amen. And I just admire his faith, because I didn't have it. I've learned to have that. That he always stood fast and said, God is going to come through sometime. So when we didn't see those bills being paid, he stood fast, amen? But it was good for me because I had to learn. Okay, it's not about what you have. Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have food to eat? That's enough to give God thanks for, amen? You have to learn to give thanks no matter what situation you are, amen? And your children can sense that. Your children can sense if you are discontented, amen? So, yeah, their children, and as Pastor said before, they're not wondering how the gas bill's going to be paid or the electricity. They don't know about that. But you know what? We need to have their childlike faith that my God will provide. It might not be when I want him to, but he will provide. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we need to display contentment. And if you're discontent, you need to get on your knees and say, Lord, give me a thankful heart. I've got too much to thank you for, hallelujah, than to complain about. And if you really check your life, you'll see that, amen? No matter what's going on in your life, there's too much to be thankful for, amen, than to complain. And it doesn't do any good anyway, amen? It doesn't do you any good to complain. And when you learn to give thanks, he'll give you your peace, he'll give you strength, he'll give you joy to make it through whatever you're going through, amen? A godly mother will trust in God. Psalms 9:10 says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. We can rejoice and we can stand on that word. She trusts in God in the most difficult seasons of her life. And we are going to go through seasons. We are going to go through seasons. But we learn to trust him no matter what season we're in, knowing that seasons come to an end. The Christian mother is tempted, like other believers, to doubt the Lord's hand over her life. Yet she remains steadfast in his ability to take care of her and her family's needs. She establishes a trust relationship with God that grows every single day. Amen. This is something that grows. When you see God did something for you 5 years ago, a difficult situation, when you face another one, you say, Lord, I know you got this. You did it before, I know you're going to do it again. Amen. A godly mother, number 9, keeps the faith. A faithful person will be richly blessed. That's what Proverbs 28:20 says. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God, to please God. You might as well forget it. If you don't really believe he is who he is, if you don't believe he can do what he says he can do, you might as well just not walk with him. Amen. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. And I can truly say that it's my husband's belief in me that enables me to even stand up here today. Amen. I wouldn't want to be with somebody that doesn't believe in me, that doesn't trust me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I've lost my paper. But anyway, these are just a few things that I was saying. Quality number 10, a godly mother is able to bring order to chaos, amen? She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness, amen? We don't want to have chaotic homes, and we are responsible for that, amen? Well, we have a large responsibility for that, amen? That we do not operate a home out of chaos. We're not slothful, we're not lazy. Our chief concern isn't the perfect home, but rather a healthy home that is full of love, laughter, and order. Not only that, she keeps her home free, not only from excessive physical clutter, but she watches for the spiritual and emotional clutter of worldliness. Amen. As Christian mothers, we have to be careful that the world doesn't not creep into our homes. And what do I mean by that? Amen. What do I mean by that? You can look at anything that you're doing, and you can say, is God pleased with that? Is this entertaining to God? Is this good for my child? You don't let them sit in front of the TV or be on their iPad all day long. No, that's not what a godly mother does, amen? It means taking extra time and effort, amen? I babysat my two grandsons the other day, last week. And I take my hat off to young mothers. I really do. I'd forgotten. I raised 4, but maybe I had forgotten. But I was determined. I'm not going to let you just sit but I'm going to engage. I'm going to, as much as I can, as much as my time would allow. And they see that. You are pouring into their lives. And it's easy to just sit them in front of a TV, or it's easy just to give them an iPad or something to play with. But talk with your children. Engage them. All right? Amen. It's so important to their character as you build them. You are building the generation for tomorrow. It's important that you invest time. And yes, is it inconvenient sometimes? Yes, it is. But you are investing in that child. Amen. And it's just the most wonderful thing to have them come up and hug you and know, not because you said you love them, but because you showed them that you love them. Amen. And yes, it takes time. And yes, it takes extra effort, but it's worth every single minute of it. Number 11, a godly mother holds to what is right and what is wise. And I've already talked about wisdom. As a godly mother, she makes the tough decisions that runs against the torrent of social corruption for her children. It would be easy to let them go play at Johnny's house or whatever. But do you know who is at Johnny's house? Do you know what they stand for? Amen. So we need to invest time in our children. Quality number 12, she's willing to release her children to God. The Bible says hope does not disappoint. Romans 5:5. It's very hard sometimes to let go of your children, amen? But as much as you've nurtured them and grown them up, you need to be also ready to let them go. You need to provide them a place where they can be free to who you've poured into them and who the decisions that they've made. And sometimes, like I said, that's not always easy. But you have to know that you have equipped them, you have taught them, you've done the best you can, and you have to let them go. And sometimes that's not always the most easiest thing to do. But a godly mother will provide a place of departure. Amen. A place of departure and a place where they can come back if need be. So I'm going back to my scripture text about Shiphrah and Puah and how they made up in their minds that no matter what, they were going to do the right thing, even if it cost them their lives. And I say to you that you are positioned, you are designed, you are equipped, amen, to do all that God has called you to do. Don't doubt, don't say I'm not good enough, but you are placed where God has placed you. And he wants you to be the best mother you can be to the children that he has given you, amen? And so I say to you, don't ever doubt that and continue to... So today there might be someone here who might be feeling, okay, I'm just not good enough, or I've made mistakes, I've done things perhaps that have not been pleasing, I've not been the best mother I could be, but I'm saying to you that today is a new day. You can put all of that under the blood. You can again, get up and walk and be the person, the mother that God has called you to be. So I just want to encourage you with that. Don't be weary in well-doing. Continue to seek God. Continue to put him first in your life. Continue to pour into your children. Continue to love God with all of your heart. It's worth it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you could all stand. Amen. Sister Brownie's not used to getting up here and doing what Chris and I do twice a week or three times a week. And it's not as easy as it looks. Amen. It's not as easy as it looks. So I really thank her for being willing to be obedient. And I was the one that asked her if she would speak. And you know, when she showed me her notes, who had remembered about Puah and Shiphrah? That they were the ones who enabled Moses to have life, to in the end be the deliverer of Israel. So you don't know, mothers, the little child who you now are raising, who they will become, what God can use them for, right? We always remember Mary and, you know, Rachel and Sarah, but who remembered Puah and Shiphrah? When they were under threat by Pharaoh to kill all the male babies, they defied the king to obey God. And because they did that and did not kill the babies at birth, out of one of the babies was born a little boy named Moses. So we never know who it is God has put in our care. Spiritually, we never know that either. The person that you birthed, the person that you witnessed to, you never know how God can use that person. Amen. We're going to close this service, but we're going to have a birth today. We're going to have a baptism. Alexis, could you raise your hand? Amen. Come on, raise it high. Amen. So we're going to have a birth today, and that is awesome. Alexis has been coming for about 2-3 weeks, and she wanted to be baptized really from the beginning, but we wanted to make sure that she was aware of what she was doing and that she really wanted to be baptized. So since it's Mother's Day, that is just fitting that we have a birth today. It is just fitting that we have a birth. And as we leave here today, let us remember our Heavenly Father, who is both our mother and our father. One of the things I said in Sunday school is that God did not take Eve from behind Adam. He took Eve from his side. So motherhood is not something to be left by itself. If possible, you need a father too. Amen. And as we close this service, I want you to, I'm not going to invite everyone down. I just want you to lay your hand on the person next to you. Amen. On their shoulder. And we're going to pray for each other. That as we celebrate Mother's Day today, as we go forward, amen, just find someone to lay your hand on their shoulder. That God is going to do something new in your life. As I said in Sunday school, maybe you didn't have the greatest childhood, but you can have the greatest father, and you can have the greatest mother, because he's both our mother and our father. He said he would not leave us comfortless. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you this day for your mercy and your grace. Lord, as we pray for the person next to us, oh God, we are asking you, Lord God, Lord Jesus, to just fulfill your will in their life, in our life. Lord, that you bring that comfort that only a mother can. Lord, that you move in our lives. Lord, you know exactly what we need today. You know the situation we're facing tomorrow. You know the situation that we're facing as we walk outside of these doors. Lord, we're asking you right now, Lord, to do a move in our lives as we pray in faith, believing, Lord, that you will do a miracle. Lord God, that you will redirect our path. Lord, that you will bring us full sonship, that our faith will rise to believe in your love, in your comforter. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, for your miracle power to be materialized in our lives, that your word will become real. We thank you right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we believe your word, that it is effective, that you will speak into our lives right now. Oh God, that your word will be let there be. Oh God, and that it will be so. We thank you. We come against the powers of the enemy. Hallelujah. We bind him in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we claim deliverance right now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God a praise offering right now. Hallelujah. You don't have to pray for a half hour to get your prayer answered. If you prayed in faith, I believe that God has done it and will give you a praise offering. Amen. We're not going to close this service, but you are dismissed, because we're going to have a baby born today. Someone is going down in the name of Jesus, and we're going to be celebrating. This church is going to be the mother to this birth. And we thank you all for coming today. Come on out Tuesday night. We're going to have Bible study. Greet all our visitors. Be friendly. God bless you in Jesus' name. And again, thank you to our mothers. I want to thank my wife, who is the mother of my children, for an awesome job. God bless you in Jesus' name.